Today is Saturday, April 2nd, 2016, and this...
What do you mean you're not going to Las Vegas with me? What? Honey, we can work things out there. Vegas is very romantic. We can gamble. Hoover Dam is there. It'll be great.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 546.
Las Vegas,
I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting. Out on the streets below.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. Hello.
Thank you.
Thank you. So it's still odd having a live audience, but we are live from the D showroom for Vzzt. But I like to call it mini Vimph. That's kind of what it feels like
okay.
Today. So,
how's nice your liver?
Last night was a little rough.
Yeah?
But I'm feeling okay. Is my assaultant, yeah, he's back there. That's David back there. He works here at the D, and he has declared a jihad on my liver. And he's given the bartenders here and at Golden Gate pictures of me. There's one. If you go up to the bar, you'll see them. Pictures of me, and so that they know they're responsible, apparently, for trying to kill me this weekend. So came close last night, but I'm here, so good effort. All right, so we've got a ton to talk about today.
All right, let's get to it.
It's been like 3 weeks since we've actually recorded because we had another Vegas trip a couple weeks ago, and now we're back. And you have been ill, so I'm thrilled that you're feeling good enough to be here at least.
Same here.
You're quite a trooper coming
through.
It was touch and go a couple days ago. It didn't look like Michelle was going to be able to make it.
Yeah.
We were very worried. And I was like trying to figure out what the hell I was going to do. Obviously, I was first and foremost worried about her health. But second, I was worried about what the fuck this was going to be. So I'm glad I didn't have to come up with any
alternate plans.
Contingency plans. So this is okay. So we've got a ton of news to talk about. We want to talk about some stuff from our trip a couple weeks ago, and we're going to get through as much as we can, and we'll see where it leads us. Obviously, Dr. Dave kind of took the wind out of our sails by telling a poop story during his segment, so thanks.
There goes our content.
Yeah, that's like, I've got 6 pages of notes, that's 3 of them, so thanks, Dave. All right, so let's start off with, let's buzz through some news. There's a lot of interesting...
Yeah, nice.
Keeping on with it. By the way, lovely dress
with the
bee theme.
Thank you.
And I did not.
Lovely New Balance.
I did not do anything for this. Is probably the exact same thing I was wearing in Vimph. There's a good chance of that.
That's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Vegas news from the last couple weeks. Kind of a tough time to be a magician here in Las Vegas in the last month. Yeah, I know. Way to start out on a downer. If you have not heard,
it gets worse.
Tropicana cut loose their resident magician, Jan Ruven, after he was arrested by the FBI on charges of child pornography. Apparently had an alleged, we have to say alleged a bunch of times so we don't get sued, in case it's not true, but 3,400...
Do you have to read this part? This is gross.
3,400 videos on his computer, apparently. Allegedly, but... Here's the thing. I'm kind of
3,400 is a lot to allegedly have.
This is going to sound like a bad thing to say. I'm kind of conflicted about this, and that's a horrible thing to say.
Wait, what?
Here's what I'm conflicted about. I'm trying really hard not to be part of
the angry mob,
the angry internet mob about like anytime anyone is accused of anything, then suddenly everybody's like, he must die. I'm trying not to do that, but then you see something like this, and you're like, hard not to hate this.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's no longer working at Tropicana. They're in search of a new headliner in their showroom, and it probably won't be a magician, but who knows.
Well, maybe they could contact this next person.
The next, yes. So I know a lot of our listeners are big fans of tiger-based magic. And Dirk Arthur, the sole tiger-based magician in Las Vegas these days, has taken a leave from his show at Westgate. I'm not sure exactly whose decision that was, but he's not going to be doing his show. It ended abruptly, and he says he's coming back this summer. And there wasn't really much of a reason given, but if you had the desire to see a guy and some tigers, you might have to wait for a while. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. And then Chris Angel, everybody's favorite magician here in Las Vegas. He is. He's going to be making some changes to his show.
Yeah.
Which I think we talked about briefly, but
is he not going to be in the show anymore?
He's still going to be in the show.
Oh, okay.
They're scaling it back. We talked about it a while back, but there's a definite date now that Chris Angel believe is closing on April 17th. And his new show, Mind Freak Live, is opening May 11th. And that's going to be based on his cable show, Mind Freak. So if you're a big fan of Chris Angel and loved Believe, you can now see his new show, well, in May, not now, but that's coming soon. So this is the most magic news we've had on the podcast in a long time.
Yes, it was magical.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Me too. Really something. Some other entertainment notes. Over at Caesar's Palace, Rod Stewart has added some shows to his residency, so he's going to be sticking around a little bit longer. He's going to be doing a bunch of shows in August that weren't previously scheduled. Santana's House of Blues residency has been extended. He's doing shows in September and November, so a lot of familiar names. And we've had a few others in the last couple of months that have been extended, so we're seeing a lot of familiar faces being re-signed. And then there's the return to the Las Vegas Strip of a Las Vegas legend, Wayne fucking Newton.
Yes.
Bally's announced a couple days ago that beginning on April 21st at the Windows showroom, that's the room upstairs at Bally's that none of you have probably been to because nobody goes to those shows, Wayne Newton is going to be doing a show. And it's expected to be it's kind of a combination of telling stories about his life and his career as well as some music, like 50% music, which his voice is shot. Everybody kind of, that's why he hasn't really been performing live, although he's opening for the Killers in a couple nights at the new arena. I'm guessing he'll do like three songs at that. But he's going to be doing a thing, and they described it in the information that was put out as there's going to be 13 instruments on stage, all of which he can play, and on any given night he may play any of the instruments.
Ooh.
I know. So you can see Wayne Newton play ukulele, if you've ever had that dream.
Triangle. Cowbell?
I would like to see a list of the 13, because if it's like, what's that shit they taught us all in grade school, like the recorder?
Yes.
Kazoo, the slide whistle, shit that doesn't really take any talent. I'm not down with that, but
no. We'll
see. I suspect he'll be doing a probably...
How legitimate are these instruments?
Yeah. He's not Prince.
No.
You know, but he'll probably be doing a handful of instrumentals and then trying to muddle his way through Duncan Shane at the end, I would guess. So we're going to talk a little bit later about our tour of Casa de Shenandoah, Wayne Newton's estate, which we took advantage of a couple weeks ago. And we had a pretty good experience there. Given our experience at Casa de Shenandoah, any interest now in seeing Wayne Newton's show?
I don't know. The whole voice being shot thing, I mean, he's very personable, but I don't know. I will wait for the reviews to come pouring in, is what I'm saying.
In other words, we will not be seeing this show. We go to like one show every 3 years. The odds of us seeing Wayne Newton, I would say, are pretty slim. All right. If you've been paying attention for the last couple hours, certainly you heard about parking. That is another big story here in Las Vegas.
What?
And our friends at Vegas Tripping reported a couple weeks ago that the MGM Resort's parking plan has been delayed. Originally, it was supposed to go into effect here with the opening of the park and the arena next week. And it sounds like there's been some internal chaos, and that's going to lead to a delay of the paid parking, for the most part, the paid parking scheme until the end of May. With the exception of arena events, people who have tickets for the Guns N' Roses show have been receiving emails telling them about all of their parking options, and they are going to be charged like $10 or something for parking at certain ramps. So I'm glad that we don't deal with cars. But people are anxiously awaiting the information about how much they're going to be charged if they do drive in or rent a car. And Yeah, I don't know. Nobody's happy about it. That's all there is to say about that. So.
I feel like you should have a theme song for this next segment.
About hockey?
Yeah.
What would that theme song be?
Well, you've got, it's titled Hockey Watch, so there should be like a Hockey Watch.
Hockey Watch 2016. There we go. We'll use that. All right, so the long-rumored expansion of the NHL into Vegas is one step closer to happening. There have been reports that the league has established rules for an expansion draft, and they really probably wouldn't do that if they weren't planning on expanding. So sometime this summer, there's likely to be an official announcement, and the rumored name is the Las Vegas Black Knights. What do you think of the name?
It's all right.
It's fine.
I want to see the logo. I want to see the logo, and I want to see their font choice.
There are, we can find that. There are renderings online of what that might look like, but I would,
I'd go.
I'd go see our hometown Wild if they were playing the Black Knights. So I'm looking forward to this. It's been rumored for a long time, and it sounds like there's a pretty good chance that it's going to happen. So that might be coming soon. On the same, in the same general area of the Strip, this may be of, do you care about this at all? Ownership change of a mall?
Not really.
No, okay. Well, Crystals was sold. It's owned by somebody else now. So fuck it. Let's move on. restaurant news. We got a bunch of that. BLT Burger was shut down a couple weeks ago for some health department issues. They had food not kept at proper temps and some other things. That's the burger joint at Mirage, in case you're not aware. And now it sounds like Mirage is going to be shutting that restaurant down entirely in a couple weeks and then reopening it a few days later. They're going to be running it themselves, and it's going to be called LVB Burgers and Bar.
What does the LVB
stand for? I'm guessing Las Vegas Boulevard.
Oh, okay.
That's my guess. So, thanks. I've been following this town for a long time. It's given me a lot of insight into these things, and I've spent a lot of time analyzing the initials LVB, and I've come up with Las Vegas Boulevard. Thank you. So one burger joint replaced by another, and it will probably be very similar, just different owners. Mm-hmm. We haven't been to BLT in a long time, and given the health department shut down, I'm kind of glad that we haven't done that. But perhaps we'll have to review LVB Burger.
Perhaps
during a future trip.
Maybe.
All right. There's more burger news.
Mm-hmm.
Curious to get the audience reaction to this.
Yeah.
In-N-Out Burger? Yeah, smattering. I appreciate that. I love a good smattering. It's a popular fast food chain here in the western part of the nation, and they're going to be opening a location at the Link, and it's been rumored for months, and it was finally confirmed. It's coming sometime in 2016. We went to the other location a couple years ago, one of the other Las Vegas locations over, I don't know where the fuck it was. We took a cab.
I was hangry. It was fine. It was just fine. I don't know if my hangriness influenced that.
We were a little underwhelmed because people speak very, very highly of In-N-Out Burger.
However, it's something that I've always thought, well, maybe I should revisit this. Just
so
because
we will.
I have this experience and other people have spoken so highly of it.
When the new location opens, we will roll out the long dormant try it again segment of the podcast. We haven't done that in a long time, so In-N-Out will be the victim of that. Koo Noodles at SLS is closed. Well, it has closed now, April 1st. So if you wanted to go there, you can't. Sorry. There is a new there's a new donut shop replacing the old donut shop.
Tell me more.
A few blocks away. It used to be O-Face Donuts. Now it is Donut Bar. It opened yesterday. And I posted a video on our Facebook group. It's donuts, so that's the most noteworthy part. The second most noteworthy part is the artwork in the bathroom. And we have to go over there just to see this. It's all Homer Simpson artwork, which is pretty much the greatest thing ever you could do for a donut shop. So I suspect this will be one of the most photographed
bathrooms in Vegas.
In downtown Las Vegas, possibly knocking off the wall, the Berlin Wall at Main Street Station, which you've never been able to see because it's in the men's room.
Because I'm a lady.
Yeah. You can see Homer, though. I think it's a unisex bathroom.
Okay.
It's like a single-seater.
You've taken pictures for me, so.
Of the Berlin Wall?
Yeah, I feel like I've been there.
I was just going to say, I should Periscope from the Berlin Wall.
No, No, no.
Maybe tomorrow.
No.
Maybe after I'm done with this show, we'll see. All right, I'm going to skip this
That'll
next
one. That'll be a different kind of show.
Let's talk about a... every so often on this podcast, we come across some proposed projects that are a little sketchy. You may remember Parabounce. There's a new one.
There's a new Parabounce.
There's a new Parabounce. It's called Mars World. You heard about this?
Do you mean the candy or the planet?
It's the planet.
Okay.
There was an article on space.com, which I follow religiously for all my space-related news. And they reported on a guy named John Spencer. I love his blues explosion. Three people will get that. He announced plans to develop, build, and open Mars World by 2021. So we got a few years.
What a mere 5 years away.
We got a few years, but it's a big project. It's going to take time. You can't rush Mars World.
No, you can't hurry Mars World. You just got to wait.
Would you like to hear about what this entails?
Sure.
All right. This is directly from their official information. Visitors will be treated.
Treated?
This is where the whole thing falls apart right here. To the music, costumes, and culture of a Mars colony.
Okay, wait.
Uh-huh.
Culture?
Music?
Costumes?
Costumes, yes, exactly. Any of it.
Wait, where are they getting this?
There are a few holes. I'm not aware of a Mars colony, but apparently they've nailed it down here. Visitors can also take simulated Mars walks in 1/4 Earth gravity, ride a tram around the crater in which the city is built, and even sleep overnight in rough habitats if they wish.
Ooh, camping.
I know, Mars camping. It's going to be located somewhere, this is always a good sign too, somewhere between I-15 and Las Vegas Boulevard on land yet to be acquired. However, they have...
Can they acquire the failure pillars on the land around that?
It wouldn't be between I-15 and... I don't know why they're so set on between I-15.
Okay.
They want that freeway access. It's very important to the success of Mars World. They do have their eye on two plots of land. It would be $200 million to acquire the land. It's a $2 billion project overall. The good news is they do have some money. The people who are involved in it already have lined up amongst themselves, out of the $2 billion, $500,000. So they're
going forward. It's going to happen.
It's practically a done deal once you have that amount of funding lined up. They're working on a second round of funding for $17 million more dollars. Again, another healthy drop in the bucket for that $2 billion. Here's the part where I would never say I'm a great business mind. I'm interested in it. I don't necessarily understand all the ins and outs of business plans and how you...
Your fancy figures and such.
What?
Fancy figures, numbers.
I have fancy fingers?
Figures!
Oh, figures. I was very confused by what you were saying. I'm like, what do my fingers have to do with this? Okay, anyway, I don't necessarily understand all this, but they're planning on making attendance to the park free. How is that a profitable venture? Well, the good news is they're planning on making their money from merchandise. So a lot of Mars World t-shirts are going to be out there in a few years. So this is good. I'm very excited about Mars World. They do have artist renderings, which are always the telltale sign of a legitimate Las Vegas project. Mm-hmm. And if you want to keep up with this project or
follow its trajectory into failure.
No. If you want to, there's an opportunity for you people out here. Get in at the ground floor is what I'm saying. You can invest by visiting the Mars World website at marsworld.com. You have to be able to put up $250,000 to be one of their investors, although I have the feeling they might take less. So there's a fun project that none of us are ever going to see happen. I know damn well, too, that the Parabounce guy has already been on the phone with these people. Hey, when you get that land, could you just cut out a little sliver for my balloons? So that'll be fun. We haven't heard from him in a while. I might have to drop him an email.
Yeah, check in, see how he's doing.
Yeah, every couple of years I'd like to drop him a line. Last renderings we saw, he had it as part of, like, next to the Ferris wheel over by Link.
Uh-huh.
That obviously hasn't worked out so
no.
well. All right, so with that, let's talk about our friends at...
Viator, get you more!
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so we're going to be talking extensively in a couple minutes about Wayne Newton's Casa de Shenandoah, and we have our friends at Viator to thank for that. They hooked us up with passes for that, and it was quite a fun experience. So as you listen to us review Casa de Shenandoah, I would ask that if you decide, hey, that sounds awesome, I want to do that when I'm here in Las Vegas, visit Viator.com or download one of their apps and book your tickets through our friends at Viator because they're awesome. So that's our little Viator plug. And then, like I said, the whole Casa de Shenandoah thing is courtesy of them. So thank you, Viator. All right. Should we talk about Casa de Shenandoah first or should we talk about
music? Let's talk about that because we're already talking about it, kind of.
I need a drink here, so.
Be careful what you wish for.
All right.
Oh, I thought you meant you needed
another.
No,
just, well, soon, but.
Okay.
All right. So, Casa de Shenandoah is Wayne Newton's estate. It's located near the airport, and he has a large chunk of land, 52 acres, and we got a chance to tour much of it. And there are three different tour levels that are available. The Gold Tour, which is the intro. There's a, like, what was it, 10 minutes, roughly, the film?
Yeah.
An intro film.
And oh, my God. The intro film's great, because you've got, like, this giant eagle flying, and you're flying with the eagle, and it's awesome.
We were laughing. It's weird because you're in this, for the intro film, you're in the visitor center and you're in a theater, which seats roughly 150 people, maybe.
Uh-huh. We were the only two.
Just us, right in the middle of the theater watching this, laughing our asses off at this eagle flying through Casa de Shenandoah while Wayne Newton speaks
narrated
of the wonders of his land.
Yes.
And he talks a little bit about his career and how he got started. And it's a good...
it's a good intro.
Yeah, you get
it's funny,
you get a sense
good
of... We were laughing hysterically, which is always fun to be in a movie theater and mocking whatever you're watching. So for the Gold Tour, you get that, you get to see the museum part of his estate, which consists of his airplane, his car collection, and a bunch of memorabilia. You also get to see his exotic animal collection and something called the Horse Showcase.
Tell me more about the Horse Showcase.
I'm guessing that's like the exercise part where they bring out a couple horses and you get to watch them run around.
Okay, it's not like a donkey show.
Oh my God. If so, we got ripped off because we didn't get to see it.
Okay.
I might have to... I was going to say ask for a refund, but Viator covered this, so...
Yeah.
There's a Platinum Tour, which is all that stuff, plus you get to see the first level of Wayne's mansion. That's 40... Or the Gold Tour is $35, the Platinum is $49. And then we got to do the full shebang, the Diamond Tour, which is all that stuff, plus the upstairs of the mansion, his childhood home, and an extensive tour of his horse stables.
Yes.
And plus, we had a private tour guide, so it was just the two of us and the private tour guide showing
which
us
was
around.
Funny, because the tour guide kept saying, all right, everybody.
Which is awkward. We're like, it's just us. We introduce ourselves.
Yeah,
you know our names. We know your name is Jared. We're Tim and Michelle.
Yeah.
We don't have to be so formal.
Right. He was super nice, knew a lot, very personable, but I'm like,
everybody?
It's okay. It's just the two of us. We can be casual here.
Might have been a little scripted on the everybody part.
A little bit, yeah.
He was great, though. He took a bunch of pictures of us, and it was
it was
a good experience. I would the Diamond Tour is the way to go. The private tour guide, and you get to ride around on a golf cart.
Yep.
And you get full access to a lot of parts of the mansion. I don't know a lot about Wayne Newton. Well, I do now, but I didn't before we went.
Uh-huh. I know that he is a little bit of a hoarder.
They mentioned that like 400 times during the interview or during the tour.
Yeah, he gets very attached to stuff. His plane couldn't be flown because of some FAA regulations. So
that was part of it, but I think he quit paying for something and it sat in Detroit for a while. And
but he shipped it all out because he couldn't let it go. So he shipped it and now it's part of the tour.
Mr. Newton is a very sentimental man.
He's
a very sentimental man,
a.k.a. a hoarder.
And also that's what they also said. If he didn't have a place to put it, he would be a hoarder. So you see a lot of stuff as part of this tour.
Yeah.
So you start out in the visitor center where you watch this movie and it's very entertaining. And then you take a tram or a shuttle bus tour or ride across the street. And it was very, very...
They don't make you dodge traffic, which is
no.
nice.
But when we... So it was just us on the shuttle bus again, too, which was kind of funny. And we're riding across, and as we're riding, we enter the estate, the gates open, heading to
Angels Sing.
Not quite, but all of a sudden this majestic horse, I swear to God, it was like choreographed.
Yeah.
This majestic horse is running alongside of our shuttle as we're driving up. I'm like, that's fucking amazing. How did they
do that?
I don't know if that is guaranteed as part of every tour or if it was just coincidence, but it was really quite something. So our tour, and I got the feeling that depending on the time of day and which tour, they might change the order in which you see things.
Mm-hmm. I think they were getting ready to shut the barn down, weren't they? So we had to go there first.
Yeah, we went to the horse barn, and it's a working horse ranch for his Arabian horses. And I don't know shit about horses.
I know a tiny bit.
So I was kind of like, horses, fun to watch for 5 minutes. We had like an hour-long tour of his horse barn, and surprisingly, it was really interesting.
Yeah, they talked about the history and the bloodlines, excuse me, and like his relationships with the horses, but that does not sound right.
Well, some of the it was interesting because some of the horses, they said, and I don't know how much of this
is
bullshit.
There was one that was his favorite, and it happened to pass away early, and so he was really attached to it, and so they talked about that one a lot.
But they talked about how some of the horses won't actually give birth until Wayne is there. I don't know if that's necessarily true.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they talked about how he names the horses, and there was one that we got our photo taken with that he named J-Lo because it had the most beautiful large butt he's ever seen. That one may be featured in the horse showcase that we didn't get to see. And then, so anyway, there were about 50 horses there, and it was surprisingly interesting to learn about them. Mm-hmm. And then we got to go over to another part of the ranch where they brought two of them out individually and exercised them. And I guess during the summer, they showed us there's a
pool. They get to go swimming in this pool.
Yeah, so during the summer tours, some people might get to see them doing their laps around the pool, which might be, I don't know, moderately interesting too. So after that, we got to see the exotic animals. And Wayne,
question.
Yes?
This came up earlier. Did you catch the name of Wayne's monkey?
I did not catch the name of Wayne's.
Is it Bobo?
I have no idea.
Okay.
No, I
don't
know. I
was trying to remember, and my memory failed me.
Yeah, so we got to see the exotic animals, which he has a monkey and some wallabies and a bunch of birds. What else did he have?
Penguins. He has...
Two penguins. And they're kind of like the penguins. If you remember, Flamingo used to have penguins, the African penguins. A couple of those. Very similar setup to the flamingos. Like half the time they're in a little cave and you don't get to see them. We got to see one of them. They were molting. It was kind of gross. Kind of smelly. Well, we couldn't smell it too much, but.
Yeah.
So that was okay. I was kind of underwhelmed by the exotic animals.
Yeah, it was a smaller exhibit than I thought it would be.
Monkeys are cool, though.
Yeah, and the wallabies were adorable.
Yeah. And then it was on to the mansion, which is kind of the highlight of the tour. And it was built in, the early 70s? Do you remember what year it was? Early to mid-70s?
All I know is it was lavishly decorated because...
In a 70s way.
Yes. Oh, my God. But not in a retro Mad Men kind of way, but in a let's throw gold shit on everything and...
It was a little much.
Yeah.
And we were told many times that he designed the mansion, and it showed.
Not my taste, but...
It was cool.
His wife's shoe closet? Oh. I'm getting me one of those.
Keep dreaming. One of the things about the house and the era it was built in, that was an era where celebrity kidnappings were a legitimate concern. And as a result, there was a panic room, which was turned into his wife's office. But it was kind of cool to see a panic room and where that was hidden away. And then the upstairs part, there were a couple, escape... Oh, we didn't really see them, so they may have been full of shit.
Right.
And he's like, see that little thing over there? Behind that, there's a slide, an escape slide. That's kind of cool. But they did show us in the bathroom, there was a secret compartment. Apparently, if somebody is kidnapped in their own home, this is what we learned on the tour...
Yes, so take notes.
Take notes. If you're ever kidnapped in your own home and you ask the kidnappers if you can use your bathroom, they will generally let you, which I would expect. I wasn't that surprised by that news. What are they going to say? No, piss yourself?
No, pee in front of me. That's my fetish.
Taking
not my fetish, the kidnapper's fetish.
Taking this...
No.
Wow, the show just took a turn. Taking that into consideration, Wayne built in his bathroom this little, it's like a wooden thing. It just looks decorative, but you pull it out and he used to have a rifle in there. So if he were kidnapped, he could say, I got to take a shit, and then go up to his bathroom.
Yep. Punch out the wall, grab the rifle.
Grab the rifle. Now, why he didn't go the extra yard and put in an escape hatch in there, too, I don't know. But I would love to see Wayne Newton come out of the bathroom with a fucking rifle blasting at everyone.
Maybe that's part of his new show.
Maybe. A lot of his new show is supposed to be question and answer from the audience, so I'm kind of tempted to go. Just go, hey, I was over at your mansion.
Can you tell me more about the escape hatch?
You put the little rifle thing in there. Why didn't you just go all the way and do an escape hatch? And you know, sliding out. Suddenly you're outside with your penguins. But anyway. So then we got to see the childhood home, which was the first home he built on the property when he bought it. And I don't know. That was not really anything much.
It was fine.
They just threw some memorabilia in there. The only interesting thing was they opened up his closet door and there were like, and they didn't, it would have been interesting to go through there and just like look at the actual outfits.
Yeah.
This walk-in closet was just packed with his stage outfits from over the years. And I'm sure that there were some hilarious things in there, but they just kind of opened the door and showed us. We didn't really get to explore.
You didn't get to try it on.
That's
another level up.
That, I don't think Wayne and I are of the same build, so okay. I don't think that would necessarily work. But it would be fun to see me coming out wearing one of his like fringy vests.
Uh-huh.
That would be a good look.
Think about that for October.
I'll see if I can work that up. So we got to tour his airplane then, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. We got to sit in the cockpit of that and have our picture taken.
Uh-huh.
All the seats were covered in plastic. It was very 70s retro, so that was interesting. Got to see about a dozen of his cars. He owns cars that were previously owned by Liberace and Johnny Cash and some other people. That was all right. By this point in the tour, so it lasted like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I would say it was about half an hour too long.
I agree, because, yeah, the last half hour my attention span was going, and I'm like, all right, I'm starting to get a little hungry.
Yeah. I didn't need a detailed history of every single all dozen automobiles.
Right.
And then after that, we moved into this museum where there were all these different cases that had photos and different mementos and things like that, and we got an explanation of some of the things in each of the cases, and by that point I'm like, I gotta take a piss. So it was a good tour overall, just maybe a little bit too long. That would be my only criticism of it.
Yep. But it was interesting and informative, and
I was surprised how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
The grounds are beautiful. It's really a really nice place.
It might be one of those things where you want to consider the time of the year because you're outside a lot. So if you went in summer, it might get really, really warm.
Yeah, a lot of it is outside.
Yeah.
So take that into consideration if you decide to go. But I would say it's worth it. It's an entertaining and interesting way to spend a few hours.
Yep.
And I came away with it, I guess, with a little bit more appreciation for Wayne Newton. Me as somebody too. Who had a long, successful career and I guess continues to, but you know, kind of took on the whole child entertainer thing and built it into a lifelong career. And I don't know. It was interesting. I was impressed.
I'm glad we went.
I am too. So we would give that a thumbs up, I would say.
Two thumbs up?
Like one for you, one for me, or two each? Or how are we going to divide this up?
I don't know.
This is part of the horse the horse exhibit?
Oh, no!
All right. So that's Casa de Shenandoah. Should we talk about Billy Idol?
Yes. Yes, we should.
All right. We got to see Billy Idol's, the first show of the Billy Idol residency at House of Blues at Mandalay Bay. And it was fantastic. We had a great time at that.
It was awesome. If you like his music at all, go, go, go.
Yeah, definitely. It was so one of the things to note, the ticket time is 7 p.m., although that's more like the door time, and the show started like 10 after 8 or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, adjust accordingly so that you're not standing around all night, but that wasn't that bad. We got a good position on the floor. We were about halfway back, which if you haven't been to House of Blues, it's a pretty good sized venue, but the floor itself, the general admission floor part of it is pretty cozy.
Yeah.
And we were about...
It wasn't claustrophobic.
No.
There was enough room, but you still had a good sight line too.
Yeah.
Billy and I made eye contact.
Yeah, you and Billy had a moment.
We had a moment. Should we reenact said moment?
We could. Here, I'll pull up the song while we're talking about it.
Okay.
This will be magical. We'll reenact. It's completely unplanned. I love this.
Reenact the 10 seconds that Billy Idol and I made eye contact.
So this was the first show of his residency. He's doing more dates in May, August, and October.
Around Vimp time.
Although I think it might be like the nights that we have events. So,
oh, okay. Well, then maybe don't go then.
Extend your trip for a few days and stick around for Billy.
Yes, do that.
It's a really good show. He's been varying the set list from night to night a little bit, which is kind of cool. It's not like cookie cutter, same thing every night. But he's been doing most of his hits. So again, if you like his music, he did Rebel Yell and Dancing With Myself.
Yep. Closed with Moni Moni.
Eyes Without a Face, yep. Cradle of Love, a couple of Gen X songs from his early days. You can go to setlist.fm. You can see the sets that he's been doing. The sound in there was great.
Yeah.
And he sounded great. I was shocked for it. He's 60 years old, and his voice sounds really, really good.
And he didn't look too bad either. I mean, he keeps his stuff up.
His stuff?
His abs.
He was fit.
He was fit.
He took the shirt off and all that stuff.
He did.
I'm a little worried about this moment you had with Billy Idol now. So he did one song off of his most recent album, which came out about a year ago, and it's a really good album, actually, if you're a Billy Idol fan. And I think after the show, we both said that was one of the highlights of the show, is hearing him do that song.
And not just because of the...
I going to play Billy Idol in this reenactment?
Yes,
I would assume?
You are.
Okay.
Why would I play Billy Idol?
All right, so...
Could you take your shirt off, please?
No, nobody wants to see that.
So it's a new song, and a lot of people don't know it, so I'm just like...
Hold on.
Okay.
And Billy's up there. That's how it went. A little something just for the people here in the showroom.
Yep.
He spotted her pumping that fist, and he locked in, and he was like, yeah. Yep. Somebody knows my new song. He was very happy.
But it's a great song.
So that was fun. The band was great.
Oh, Steve Stevens. Have we talked about Steve Stevens?
I think we did a little bit when we announced the, when we talked about this as a new show. He's an amazing shredding guitar player.
Yes.
And one of the things, Billy's a great frontman, but it's really cool that he doesn't hesitate to back off and let his band have some of the spotlight.
Yeah.
And Steve Stevens takes the spotlight a lot and steps up to the front.
Yeah.
Good old-fashioned rockin' guitar solos.
Let's play guitar with the teeth here.
Oh, behind the head.
Behind the head.
At one point, Billy was like kneeling at the front of the stage with something in his hands, and it was a toy gun, and Steve Stevens took it and played guitar with the gun, and it made a very cool... It was an awesome rock show. I loved it. It was fun.
It was great.
So that was a Thursday night. We actually briefly flirted with the idea of going to the Saturday show.
We did. It was that good.
Yeah, I would see him again.
I would, too.
And I'm not like a hardcore Billy Idol fan, but becoming one.
We're both reading his autobiography, too. And he's had a lot of sex, and he's done a lot of drugs. Just,
That's unusual in the rock and roll
industry. I know, but it's really well written and just really interesting. I'm about halfway through, and I like it a lot.
Yep. So let's see. The only critique of the show, the only thing I really had an issue with, which... Not that big of a surprise. House of Blues, despite the great sound, great sight lines, and all that. Drink prices were crazy. We just had like...
We had like two apiece.
Yeah, and for a round of two well drinks, you had like, what, vodka soda?
Yeah.
And I was doing...
You were doing Captain Diet.
Captain Diet, which, by the way, if anybody wants to... $23.50 for two, and they were small. They were like half the size of these.
Yeah.
So a little steep. On the drink prices. But other than that, I would recommend checking out Billy.
All right.
All right. What else do you want to talk about? We've got some other stuff from our trip. You're losing interest?
No. What would you guys like to hear?
I want to
take the temperature of the audience. Are you good? Should we keep going?
Couple restaurant reviews. March Madness. Let's talk about March Madness a little bit since...
Yeah.
That's still kind of going on. We were here for the first round of March Madness. If you have not been here for that, and it was St. Patrick's Day weekend too, so it was crazy. It's a really, really fun time to be here. And if you like to bet on sports, it's just fantastic. I don't know what the hell I'm doing when it comes to college basketball betting. Didn't stop me. I was throwing money around like I knew. It's just, you know, anybody who does the brackets, you're kind of like, suddenly you become an expert in this thing you've never really paid that much attention to. That was me with the sports betting. And I will give you this tip. If you're going to come out here for the first round of March Madness sometime.
Thank you so much. That is so nice.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the refreshment. Cheers. Oh, wow. He's taking care of me. He gave me a water, too.
Aw.
He's assuming that later on I'm going to be passed out somewhere if I don't drink some water, which is very, very likely. If you're going to bet on especially the first round of March Madness where there are many, many basketball games, sign up for one of the mobile apps. I went with the William Hill app because we started our trip on the Strip, and I knew we would be finishing it and spending most of our time downtown, and a lot of the sports books down here are William Hill. So, and I'd heard good things about the app. So I opened an account at the new Casino Royale sportsbook, which we'll talk about in a moment. The process for this, if you're going to do this, it takes a little time. They initially, the person at the counter directed me to one of their kiosks and said, well, on the kiosk, it will only take 4 minutes.
Oh, no.
If you do it at the counter, it will take 20 minutes. So I'm like, okay, kiosk. You have to insert your license into the machine, and it didn't like mine. So I ended up having to go back over to the counter anyway. And there was some kind of convoluted process where they photocopied my license and faxed it somewhere and then made a series of phone calls. A little sketchy, but after about 15 minutes, they allowed me to deposit money in. And even though that process was a little...
Did they ask for blood or...
Not quite to that. They did ask if we had any children. I think, I don't exactly know what that meant, but...
Are you gambling away their college fund?
Possibly. So, despite the fact that was a little time-consuming, it was worth it in the long run because placing bets on the app was like the easiest possible thing ever.
Yes. Oh, my God. It was great. It was a little addictive.
Yeah. If they had that available nationwide, I would become a sports betting addict. And it would be bad because I would be doing it with no knowledge of what I was doing. Given that I had no idea what I was doing, I still did fairly well.
Yeah.
The first round, I was actually up like $60 or something. And then second round where I had absolutely... no clue. I hadn't read anything. I lost that and another $20, but I placed a lot of bets and only lost $20. So
you were participating. That's the important thing.
Plus, I have a futures bet on the Twins to on the over on number of wins for this season. So I'll win it all back there.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
Two new sports books, and we mentioned Casino Royale. They have. If you haven't been over to Casino Royale, they remodeled. Their old bar is gone. They replaced it with a rectangular bar a few yards out from where the old bar was. And the sports book is like a tiny little corner of tiny little, that's redundant. a tiny corner of the bar with just like one person and a computer and a fax machine and a telephone. And that's
welcome to Casino Royale.
And then there's a kiosk right next to that, and I suspect that anytime somebody comes up there, she goes, you know, the kiosk could be faster. She clearly enjoyed her job.
Could you smell the White Castle from
the sports book and
bar?
I couldn't either.
Okay.
You were intrigued with the sign from, we hadn't been in there since they opened the White Castle.
Uh-huh.
You were intrigued with the sign?
Yeah.
That said, was it grab them by the sack or something?
Yep.
Buy them by the sack, grab, but sack was in quotes. Which was really mind-boggling. Like, it's not a real sack. It's, I don't know.
What kind of sack is it?
So the sports book at Casino Royale, not super impressive, but it, you know, it does the job.
Yeah.
The bar was decent. You know, it's nice. A little bit of an upgrade.
Not as sticky as the previous bar.
Not quite. I think they raised their drink prices, though. It didn't,
yeah.
They still have the dollar Michelobes, but who wants to drink Michelob even if it is a dollar, really? Not my choice. A much nicer new sports book is that of Cosmopolitan, which we also visited and spent quite a bit of time at.
Yes, we did.
And had a good time.
Yeah.
The bar there is lovely for, I mean, the video poker pay tables suck just like all the Cosmo bars, but...
They make good drinks.
Yes.
And they comp them.
Without the voucher system. So some people were worried because Bond Bar has... I don't even know what the minimums are, but you have to play a certain amount and the voucher kicks out. And they're not doing that at the sports bar yet. And the bartenders were fantastic.
And they have something with ginger beer and Jameson. And I said, yes, I will have four of those, please. Thank you.
I was drinking, it was Chimay, but it wasn't the usual super high alcohol content Chimay. Like, usually it's the red, white, what is it, red, white, and blue are the three different Chimay varieties. This was one I had not had before that was a more moderate level, but it was a good, like, long drinking beer. You could pound a bunch of them without getting totally blotto, which I appreciated. So I was happy to see that. I don't know, it's a really nice setup for watching games. We didn't have a chance to play any shuffleboard.
No, we did not. The shuffleboard tables were occupied.
I don't know that they really were. it was more of a, no, I'm not doing that. I think that was the, but I would recommend it if you, you know, if you're a fan of Cosmopolitan, it's a new bar to try out. And I was very impressed with the service and the overall experience there. Yeah. So we checked out the new Click Bar. Didn't, it wasn't open at the time. We just took a look at it. I don't see us spending a lot of time there. They've got like a, they replaced Book and Stage with a relatively boring, just straight bar along the wall that has maybe a dozen seats and only about half of them have video poker. And then the rest of it's lounge seating. And
the drinks are a little expensive.
Yeah, the design looked fine.
Like that's ever stopped us before, but.
I don't know.
It just wasn't, it wasn't drawing us in.
It wasn't for my kind of people.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Restaurant reviews. Couple quick restaurant reviews of some places.
Should we just talk about the one?
Should we just do the one?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you getting bored?
No. I just want to...
You're reading the room? People are antsy. If you guys need to take a piss or get a drink or something, go ahead.
Are you getting twitchy for the tables or the machines or anything? Okay, all right, then we will go on.
All right, we'll just do the one review anyway.
Okay.
So Therapy is a restaurant and bar on in the Fremont East District.
I'm just afraid I'm going to cough up a lung at some point.
No, you've been hanging quite well. Do you need? Oh, you've got water.
Oh, I'm good. I've got it.
All right, so Fremont East, of course, there's a bunch of restaurants and bars. Therapy is a new one located next to the empty Insert Coins location. It used to be the Dollar Store. I'd been there once.
This is an upgrade.
It's a little bit nicer than the Dollar Store. I'd been there once.
A little bit better food.
I had a drink at the bar once, but we had not eaten there until this trip. And we ended up eating there three times, which speaks highly of the experience. First time we went in for lunch, I had a...
kale salad with egg on top?
I did not have that, although that was on the menu. I've just resigned myself to every restaurant that I go into in this town. There's going to be a fucking kale salad on the menu. And I'm just, no, I'm not doing that.
No.
But, no, I had, although this comes close, you know, in a sense, because I've bitched about this particular part of this item. I ordered a BLT. Mm-hmm. Fine, no big deal. Although the bread choice on the BLT was a croissant, which is one of the lower... tier bread options, but that's what they put it on. It was quite good. They had it had tomato jam and the toasted croissant and some sort of they had homemade potato chips with it that were delicious as well. And then you had the chicken salad sandwich.
Mm-hmm. It had a little bit of a curry to it, which was good. If you're into that sort of thing.
Both of them. I didn't have any of yours, but I certainly enjoyed mine.
It was curry, and then it had a little bit of cranberry action going on, and it was very good.
So the sandwiches were really good, and then we decided to go back there a couple times. And the other times that we went, we just had appetizers, and those were phenomenal. Like, I've had cravings for a couple of their appetizers since we've returned home, so I think we'll be paying a visit to Therapy sometime this week. Among the items that we had, oxtail empanadas.
Mm-hmm.
Which were like little pastry things with very very good oxtail meat. I know people go nuts for that oxtail soup, which one of these days I'm going to actually try that because I'm suspicious of any soup being that good. But the oxtail empanadas were great. Chicken meatballs I've been craving.
Mm-hmm.
Those are fantastic. They had a little bit of a kick to them. And then something called In the Nudie, which
you were not required to eat naked.
No, it was baked ricotta, truffle honey, fig jam, roasted almond and cranberry and walnut crostini. They were very delicious.
Very rich.
And then finally,
very tasty.
The other one, Devils on Horseback.
Yes, those. Those, yes, all the time.
Would you like to describe Devils on Horseback?
They are soft truffle goat cheese and almond stuffed dates wrapped in bacon in Romesco sauce.
That reminded me of something that we would have at Carson Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like sweet and savory. And
like the bacon jam?
Kind of, a little bit, but yeah, it kind of hit all of those flavor pleasure centers. There's a term I've never used. So those were delicious. Therapy, we sat at the bar all three times, had great service, really enjoyed it, and I don't know, that's kind of moved up on our list of places that we're going to have to go often, I would say. TherapyLV.com is the website if you're
good
interested.
Good service, good food, good drinks.
Yeah, check it out if you are so interested. All right, should we start wrapping things up?
Sure.
That's what we want to do? All right, thank you to everybody.
Unless you have more to...
Well, I could go on for... Let me ask something here, completely off script. Has anybody been watching the TV show Billion Dollar Buyer? Woo! That guy. All right. So I've watched the first two episodes. Billion Dollar Buyer is a show on CNBC, and the guy who owns Golden Nugget, Tillman Fertitta, and he owns Landry's.
They make all their employees wear buttons advertising the show, too. Have you noticed that?
I did notice that. So the show involves him going around to small businesses and deciding whether or not he wants to place a large purchase order for their products to go into his restaurants, the Landry's restaurants, or his hotels. And it's kind of part Shark Tank, part bar rescue, part...
Yelling?
Not necessarily yelling, but... Here's my impression of me watching the first two episodes of Billion Dollar Buyer. Because I was really interested to see what kind of guy Tillman Fertitta is. And so I'm sitting there watching. This guy's kind of a dick. That was exactly what I said both times I was watching. That's what I came away from it from. As far as like a TV show to build your image,
not doing a great job
for Tillman. Yeah. So anyway, it's moderately entertaining, but I don't think I'm going to stick with it. So I suspect at some point there will be some sort of Vegas tie-in. So far, a lot of it has been Landry's stuff.
Yeah. Cocktail syrup.
And that was for like his Bubba Gump restaurant. The hot sauce was for Bubba Gump restaurants, which is a Landry's thing.
Oh, I didn't know they were.
And there were, they own a shitload of stuff.
Okay.
McCormick and Schmick was another one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, so if you're interested in learning what kind of guy Tillman for my opinion and mine alone is that kind of a dick. So there you go. All right. Anyway, that's a side note. Okay. Before we wrap things up, I want to thank everybody who's been using our Amazon link. This week's Amazon.com listener purchase of the week is the Dingo Munchie Sticks dog treats. If your dog likes the treats, I don't know if they're made of dingo or if that's... I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, a two-pack for $12. Somebody bought them, and we thank them. We thank everybody who's been using our Amazon link. Go to our website at 500bymidnight.com. Click the Amazon link before you buy stuff, and it helps us out, and we appreciate it. A couple quick things. We've got another event coming up here in the D Showroom, VIMF, the Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic, October 14th through the 16th. Please come to that event. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be like this on steroids. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on all weekend. I had a little brief powwow with our friend Chuck Monster last night, and he's got some ideas that are it's going to be quite an event. So if any of these come to fruition, and especially, but I would recommend coming if you can. It's going to be quite an event. And then of course I have a book available called Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas. I did not bring any of them with me because I'm a shitty, shitty businessman. However, if you do want a copy, it is available downstairs in the D gift shop. And, if you want to buy it and find me, I can sign it for you if you want. Otherwise, you can get it at LasVegasOutsidersBook.com, Amazon, blah, 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 blah. Finally, thank you. We'll get caught up on phone calls and PayPal donations and all that shit next couple shows. Anything else before we... We want to thank Chuck and Hunter, of course, for putting this whole thing together. Thank you. We appreciate it. We've mentioned it before, but as with all of these events, we just get to show up and drink a lot of booze and make asses of ourselves, and those guys do all the work. So we appreciate being included in this. It means a lot. And thanks to the audience for showing up. We appreciate you being part of this.
Yes, thank you for taking time out of your vacations to come and see us and support.
We hope you've had a good afternoon. And for this event, this is it. This is the the official event. I would suspect that you may find many of us around the area bars this evening, Long Bar, Bar Prohibition, wandering Fremont Street aimlessly in a drunken haze, possibly passed out in a performance circle. Join us, and you know, if we haven't had a chance to say hi yet, please stop us and say hello. It's always nice to meet people who listen to our show, and I'm continually puzzled by why you do, but thank you. All right, so as always, you can visit our website at 500bymidnight.com. You can email us if you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions at 500@gmail.com. We're both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. Voicemail line available to you anytime, day or night, 702-866-9494. As always, thank you to everybody for listening, emailing, commenting, calling, showing up in our studio audience, putting up with all of our shenanigans. And
buying us drinks.
Whatever else you've done for us, we do appreciate it. And we'll be back. We still have a ton of stuff from our trip to talk about. Yeah. So the next few weeks, we'll be catching up. And we appreciate all of it. And we will talk to you then.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks.